Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the month of April, so I probably won't be
on next week, but then I think the week after that, because I'm going to be moving. So just want to kind of give you a little heads up on that. So I should be back, let's see, next Wednesday will be the 2nd. So on the 9th, I should be back. So don't want to miss, usually don't want to miss too many in a row if I'm not on vacation. So just thankful for that. So I just grateful for this vehicle. When you get in the vein, this Blog Talk able to convey the word through this medium of Blog Talk. And so sometimes you get in a vein, you want to keep moving in that particular vein. So as we've been in this vein dealing with word power and dealing with the things that the master have done, and that, like I said on last time, that it's not about us, but it's all about Jesus. So because God is going to have a church, and that's what he said. You know, he said, I said to Peter, upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he told Peter, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So that's the power and the authority. Not like we think keys, but the power and authority. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. So for some reason, people think that when they're going to go to heaven, they got to go through the pearly gates and past St. Peter. I mean, that is all that, well, that came out of that Catholic Church. That is not so, but that's why we endeavor to, and you're going to offend, you use the word. The word is like a hammer, like Jeremiah said, is not that word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So you fall on that rock, you'll be okay. But if he fall on you, like Jesus said, you fall on, if that rock fall on you, you're going to be grounded to powder. So the point being, you're going to know the truth. Like he said, you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. St. John 8:32, as we had said on last time, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So the point being, we've been talking about the catching away of the bride of Christ or the church. And that's going to be done by way of the Lord himself going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, when he was saying, would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. We believe that Jesus died, even them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with you. So we that are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. So he goes on to say, that's the quote that I just said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What dead in Christ? Those that are in the graves. So then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that is so very important. So in other words, you ain't no pearly gates that you gotta necessarily pass through and pass through St. Peter. Peter going to get up out of the grave himself. He was one of the pillars. So he's going to get up. So there's no, you're going to pass St. Peter. I mean, that's a lie, and the devil knows that's a lie. Peter had to be saved like everyone else. So, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, with who? The dead in Christ, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is what he said to the church, the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. So these people were already saved. And so I think on last time we made mention about the new birth. We made mention about being in authority. The only way to be in authority, you have to be under authority. God set it the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That's government. That's church government. That's the opening scripture of church government. Psalm 68 and verse 6. So there is no, like people, they have a saying, no man is an island. No, that's right. You're not, they put the solitary in family. So you're not by yourself. So you're going to go up with the church. He's not coming back for one person, but he's coming back for millions of people, the dead in Christ, and also we which are alive and remain. So the new birth, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we are said, some call us Jesus only, but we know who he is. He was the Father. He was the Son. He was the Holy Ghost. He is that which was, which is to come. He can say he is, he was. He can't never be what he is not. He gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. Just because he became the Son of God, he didn't stop being God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. That's why the writer in Hebrews says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son. That's the office of sonship, by whom he also made the worlds. You know, he's the express image of his person. It is him. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is the God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. He was in the world. That's why we read what we read. In 1 John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God, back in the book of Genesis, is a divine testimony. The only witness on the stand was God himself. So it's so very plain. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. James 2 and 19, the devils also believe and tremble. There's only one God. So that's why I've been using this theme, the Godhead. He is the God that's ahead of all things. In the book of Romans, the first chapter. In the book of Colossians, the second chapter. And in the 17th chapter of Acts. It's the only three places in the Holy Writ, or the Holy Bible, the 39 books in the Old, 27 in the New. And Route 66, as I call it sometimes, you're only going to see the word Godhead three times. Jesus was concealed in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. He was known by the name of God Almighty by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but by the name Jehovah, Exodus 6 and 3, he was not known unto them. So you got to realize and understand it's the same God. I am he, you know. Is there a God beside me? I know not other. In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, in the 42nd chapter, the 43rd chapter, the 45th chapter, the 46th chapter, so many different times. Isaiah 9 and 6, Isaiah 7 and 14, he's going to bring you a sign. He's going to bring forth a son. He's going to call his name Emmanuel. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. So letting you know that the Savior is coming. God himself. He is the Savior. So he is the self-existing one. And that's a great mystery. So when we go out and without controversy, 1 Timothy 3 and 16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So it's the mystery of God. It is the mystery of Christ. And they knew this rightfully so. So we thank God for knowing about the mystery. That is, in the book of Colossians, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Philippians, in the book of Colossians, Paul's letters to believers, letting them know about this mystery. So if you preach Jesus, you can't go wrong. So there is no two gods. There is no Jews understand the right hand of God. They understand the place of favor. You know, that's why it says in the book of Isaiah, he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. We should see him, there should no form beauty we desire. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. So they know that there is only one God. They know the one God is the Messiah, and they didn't accept the Messiah, the nation, as a whole. That is why the remnant, you read in the book of the Revelation, the remnant, the 144,000, which is not the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's the dirtiest lie, one of the dirtiest lies ever ascended up out of the hell hole, and the devil knows himself. So that's so stupid. Just like I said on last time, that 144,000, he names them out. It's the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 out of each tribe. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called, and you might have the truth, you might as well face it, because you don't want to be lost should you be listening and you're under the sound of my voice right now. The point being, that is such folly, because if there is over 2 million or 3 million Jehovah's Witnesses and only 144,000 going to be lost, like I said before and I say it again, the rest of them are crazy. So that makes no sense. So you might as well wake up right now and have some sense if you want to be saved. There's no two ways or three ways to be saved. There is one way to be saved. So it is found in the book of the Acts. That's why we say we call it apostolic. Apostolic means like the apostles. So people are scared to hurt people's feelings. Well, you might as well, I'd rather have my feelings killed right now and be saved than to fool around and be lost, because there's only one way to be saved. And so that was distorted by that Constantine in 3-something A.D., and that Catholic Church, so-called Trinity, which the Catholic Church is nothing but a political organization hiding behind religion. You don't worship no man. Jesus already made that plain. Don't call no man Father. The Pope is not the Holy Father. He is not God. That's what the pontiff means, Holy Father. He is not the Holy Father. He is a mere man. He is not. So what did Jesus say? Take heed that no man deceive you. Whatever Jesus says trumps what everybody else says. And you can't be scared about it. So the truth is going to make you free, and the truth is in Jesus. So it doesn't matter. This cuts. This is a sword. Cuts both ways. Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's the word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in this sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You cannot separate God from his word. So you understand that the way that the church began on the day of Pentecost, I mean, everything, just like he said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. This is in the Old Testament. He was concealed. Now he is revealed. Even the devils knew who he was. He told them to hold their peace and that they should not make him known. So that's why it's all about Jesus. And he gave his life. Who's coming on the scene now talking about giving their life? No, the folly of this foolishness of these so-called people martyring themselves and thinking they're going to paradise. No. You know what that is? They get deceived by the devil and his imps, because they know paradise and all of these versions and all that. That's an insult to whoever they think God is. That's an insult. And then not only that, you got to understand about the resurrection. You got to understand the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection and in spirit or none of that, but the Pharisees confess both. So in the regeneration, just like they asked Jesus that question, they tried to trap him. about this woman having seven husbands. And in the law of Moses, you had to marry your brother's wife if he didn't have seed to raise up seed. And this woman had seven husbands and didn't have children. No one raised up seed. Last of all, the woman died. They said, whose wife shall she be in the regeneration? He said, neither. They shall be as angels. So God is neutered. The divine essence of God is spirit. He became a man. There's one man, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He became a man because he had to be the lamb to take away the sin of the world. He had to be the sin offering. He had to shed blood. He created himself a body. And that's what we talked about. Like he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. In the 40th chapter of Psalms and the 10th chapter of the book of the Hebrews tells you all about it. But the point being, I'm getting right back to my point. I know where I'm going. So the point being, God is a spirit. The spirit of God is neuter gender. That means he is neither male nor female. We refer to him as he. Says the Lord this and the Lord that. The Spirit of God, the Lord God. You never see the he is when he became a man. We can say that. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man. That's exactly how it goes. Christ Jesus. So the point being, in a regeneration, we are going to be as angels. That means they don't have a sex. They're neuter gender. They're neither male nor female. So in the regeneration, in the world to come, we're going to be as angels, neuter gender, neither male nor female. So the point being, if you want to get married, you got to get married in this life. He is the great love. He is going to marry the church, which is the bride of Christ. So that's folly to think that whoever someone thinks God is, that he's going to give them one virgin, let alone 72. How stupid is that? That is insane. And then you blow yourself all to pieces. You can't even find your brain. You can't find nothing else. That is pure stupidity with all capital letters. That makes no sense at all. So you got to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we're going to move on here. We ended up on last time, and see, this is a simple gospel, but it's you haven't preached until you made them mad, because it goes against the grain. And same thing the master did. He just told them the truth. I'd rather, just like when us in our generations, when we get what some people call a whipping, some call a spanking, a chastising, some called a killing. I'm glad I got tore up. So I still did crazy stuff, but I had the fear of God in me, and I ministered in the prisons for over 20 years, and I've never been in prison. Some people have been to jail. They've been to jail for protesting or whatever. But I can say that I've never been arrested, never been to jail. God's word is true. We got chastised. We got whippings, as we would call it, so the word is right. So in other words, what I'm saying right now, this may be hard to some people, but you want to be saved, you got to do what Jesus says. So ain't no two or three churches. There's only two or three ways to be saved. There is only one way to be saved. And so it's so simple. That's why Ephesians 2 and 20, that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. It was prophesied about the man, Christ Jesus, coming to give his life, got up from the dead. So you got to believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the ascension. When he went back to heaven, he sent back the Holy Ghost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. That's why he told them to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem, the disciples, that is, the 120 on the day of Pentecost, till they be endued with power from on high, so that the Holy Ghost was poured on them, the fulfillment of the new birth, the Holy Ghost being poured out at Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that means Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter what your race, creed, or color is, the Holy Ghost is for you. What color is your soul? I don't know if it has a color. The whole point is it doesn't matter about your body. God is no respecter of persons, but he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. So you read all through the book of Acts. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost, you're speaking another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives you utterance or what to utter, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. So you believe, you're going to receive it. So God confused everybody. They're trying to build that Tower of Babel in the 11th chapter of Genesis. God turned the thing around. When you're born again, you're speaking not in your native tongue, but in another tongue. That's a totally different thing when he's talking about unknown and all that. The gifts in the church, you got to get the giver of the gift. You don't have a spiritual gift if you don't have the Holy Ghost. And so people get that scripture in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They say, gifts and callings come without repentance. That is not what it says. It says, for the subject is Israel. God gave them the oracles of God. Those were his chosen people, and he's not going to change his mind. So that's why he says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He gave them the oracles, and he's not going to change his mind or repent of it. That's all that means. You got to have the Holy Ghost to have a. You cannot have a spiritual gift if you don't initially have the gift. That makes no sense at all. So you got to be born again. So that's being born. When you're water baptized, you repent. You're water baptized according to Acts 2:38 in the name of Jesus, or the name of the Lord Jesus, or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit. And like he said in St. John 3:5-6, being born again. So if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't perceive it. You can't understand it. The natural man, no, he don't receive things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be born again to understand the things of the kingdom of God. So we want to move on. So on last time we were talking about, we kind of fast-forwarded a little bit because we were going through the 8th chapter of St. John, and they went about to kill Jesus, and he was telling them they were Abraham's children, they would do the works of Abraham. And so we went on here, and he let them know, ye are your father the devil, the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, he is a liar and the father of it. The subject is, he's talking about the devil. He said that you are of your father the devil. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Question. Which of you, and then he goes on, he that is of God, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's a powerful statement. So he goes on, Jesus answered the Jews and said unto, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? This is the question they said. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do, and ye do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And so what that is talking about is the second death. Hebrews 9:27, and is it appointed unto men to die, once to die, and after this the judgment. So you got to understand the difference between natural death and spiritual death. So if you're born again, you don't die. You're just really sleep in Jesus. So make no mistakes about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. Everybody is going to get up. God is going to wake everybody up. And ain't going to be no such thing, oh, I can't get up, I didn't hear the alarm clock. No. God is going to awake everyone. In the book of Daniel, many, he just puts it like that, that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. So if I were you, I'd make haste. Nobody in their right mind want to be lost. So he goes on here and said, the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. Thou sayest, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall never taste of death. See, notice, that's funny how people list. He didn't say that. He said he shall never see death if you keep my sayings. So they go on here, thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead. See that? Notice now, they keep saying, Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Is my Father that honoreth me, or whom you say that he is your God? So you got to understand, he's talking about the Spirit of God when he say, my Father. The Father and the Spirit is the self-same one. So he goes on here, ye have not known him, but I know him. If I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. And your father Abraham rejoiced. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Now remember, this is a question. Now remember on last week, the last time, I kind of fast-forwarded and got here because I wanted to get here before I closed out. And so here's the next scripture. Jesus answered. Jesus said unto them, St. John 8:58, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. That was another miracle. He disappeared. You want to talk about word power, what we're talking about here? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That ain't, if he's talking about his deity. He is the self-existing one. He is the one that was back there in the beginning. You got to understand how he is talking. So this is his deity. Nobody, just like you remember, we read in the seventh chapter of St. John, they were saying, how come you hadn't brought him? The chief officers and you know, Christ coming out of Bethlehem where David was, and there was a division among the people. In the seventh chapter of St. John, there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. This is talking about Jesus. I'm just going back to substantiate a point. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? Him who? Jesus. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. So you got to know who this is. And the devil knows. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. So that's what's so absurd about people, that I come to stir your mind up and to wake you up. You people do everything in the name of Jesus, but you won't go down in water in the name of Jesus. What is wrong with you? I wouldn't let the devil make a fool out of me, because I didn't always know about this. I just knew about this in 1976. I did not know about this all of my life. So it's all in the name of Jesus. And that's why he said in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Baptism is a deed. We say those words. Dearly beloved, you know, upon the confession of your faith concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the confidence in which we have in the blessed word of God, I do now indeed baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we say those words. It is a commandment to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You can read it in the 10th chapter of Acts, when the Holy Ghost fell on those Gentiles. Peter, who had the keys, that means he had the power and authority, commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this is definitely is so. So we're going on here, we're talking about word power. So and this is why I'm passionate about this. This is the truth of the gospel. So this is what Apostle Paul and all of the apostles laid down their lives for the name of Jesus. We're not getting all that persecution and everything now. These people nowadays are hustling people out of their money, which is a lie out of hell. The seed is the word of God. The seed is not money. It's ridiculous. I mean, it makes no sense, and I'm not going to be under that kind of foolishness, because the tithe is the tenth in the Bible. Scripture does not conflict scripture. Scripture will support scripture. Every man has purpose in his heart, so let him give. The offering is a free will offering. You cannot bribe God. You cannot buy a blessing. That is foolishness. Sowing a seed is garbage. I said it, I'm not taking it back. That's foolishness. That's a lie that they've made up because they are hustling people out of their money. But the Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, not to bless you. So you trying to bribe God, you're going to buy a blessing. That's absurd. That makes no sense. The seed is the word of God. They said, declare unto us this parable. The sower soweth the seed. The seed is a word. The sower soweth the word. Seed is the word, not money. You can't. Then these lying preachers on TV, they keep, God told me to do, they a lie. He ain't told them to do that. And then people need to have the gall to stand up to these false prophets, hustling people out of their money. So it's sad about it. You're not going to hustle or pimp me. And that's why people are so gullible. That's what happened in Ghana. Wherever that place was, that so-called Jim Jones and all that foolishness in 78, when they literally drank that poison Kool-Aid, because you got to have sense. Some people was wise enough to get out of there, like, man, this man is not God. That was the first thing. So people, you better wake up, and Jesus said, Apostle Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Some people would do anything a leader tell him to do. And these people are just hustling people out of their money. That's all they ever talk about is money. Too many times. Your soul is important. What's important in the church of God is that people be perfected. That's what the ministry is, for the perfecting of the saints, and people be saved. So what's the most important? To keep the ones you already got, or to bring in more? They're equally important. Perfect the church, and souls will be added unto the church. Souls will be added daily, such as should be saved. So in other words, God knows. He's got it all set up. He's saving people. And then the people that are saved are being perfected. They're maturing. They're growing up in Christ, not hustling people out of their money. So I'm not going to back off of that. So nobody can make a fool out of you with that money thing. You'll be fine. Because all you do is just pay the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. That's all God requires. God don't require you. The only way you're going to be blessed, you got to pay the pastor. That's a lie. Where's the scripture at? It's not none. They're going back in the Old Testament. We're not living in the times of the prophets. This so-called prophetic stuff is a lie too. God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That is done. Ain't no Elijahs nowadays. Ain't no Elishas. You got to fix me a cake first. That was back then. That is not now. That ain't got nothing to do with now. So these people need to stop that. Ain't no, that is all done. We're not under the bondage of the law. But we, God sending his son in the likeness of sin and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And the key is the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We are not under the bondage of the law, but we're under the righteousness of the law. We're not under the throne of judgment, but we come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not might, but may, because he's our great high priest. So that's why he says, seeing our, then we have a great high priest, let us, Jesus, the Son of God, pass into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. And he goes on to say, we have not a high priest. So the one we have, he can be touched. We said, we don't have one which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You got to know what the word says. So people are going to be lost. You're going to, because you don't know what your Bible say, and you're letting somebody make a fool out of you. So you got to remember what Jesus said trumps what everybody says. And that is, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. So people are clever with words. And that's, they're hustling people. And he's, you know, that's what Paul told Timothy. Don't be greedy of filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is money. And Jesus even dealt with the thing even way back. No man can serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other. You hold to one, despise the other. He made it plain, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. The love of money is the root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil. These people want to live as kings. You can buy whatever you want. You got the money to buy it. People are hustling people out of their money, and it's not the way God designed it to be. So anyway, we're going on here, and I don't care, because this is my show, and I'm going to say what the word says. I don't care who don't like me. I'm in authority. I'm under authority, and I'm in authority. I'm not no rebellious man. I'm in an organization. I'm an ordained elder, and I got I have the privilege and the right to say what the word of God says. So this is not no yes man gospel. I'm not going to get beat with many stripes. Now, I'm not going to be lost because I was scared to say what the Bible said. Jesus couldn't gather people together. I don't get these people nowadays. They think, I'm the great bringing the people together. You patting people on the back and sending them to hell, bidding them Godspeed. No. You got to say what the word of God says. And like I said, it goes against the grain. So Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was a question they asked. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So in other words, he's talking about that's not their fault. Not because they sin to make him blind. That have nothing to do with that. So he goes on here, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is the day. It is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, and this is talking about word power. I remember what I'm talking about. Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore washed, and came seeing. See, you see what he is all about. He was all about the well-being of people, about their souls. About, just like he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. So it's not done away with. I mean, he said, it hath been said, but I say. So He is the fulfillment of the law. So the neighbors, therefore, and they which were before, which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? The legitimate question. Some say, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. So, I mean, people could speak for themselves. Therefore, said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. They said, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that afore was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him, how had he received his sight? He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was a division among them. They said unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Oh, I like that. So these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So that's so much for that. I mean, show you what they thought of him. So then that's what's going on even now on the political stage in the United States of America. People, what's in their hearts are coming out. They hate the president of the United States of America so bad, but the other man that was in there was dumb as a Bessie bug. He was dumb as a rock, and they had nothing to say about him. I mean, all these people got killed in these two wars. Saddam got hung. All this stuff happened. They didn't say nothing about that. But they don't. They hate this man. They don't want people to have health care or nothing. So it's the same attitude that these Pharisees had. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? I mean, this is a long discourse. He answered them, I have told you already, and you do not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, for as for this fellow, we know not whence he is. What a lot of nerve what they done. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he openeth mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. This is what they said right here. This is what he said. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Then they answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You imagine that? So remember now, you have to worship God. It's twice in the book of the Revelation that John was going to fall down at the feet of the angels and showed him all of those things. He said, see that you don't do it. I'm your fellow brethren, you know, of the prophets. And he said two words, worship God. If Jesus hadn't been God, he couldn't have worshipped him. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. He didn't stop him. When Cornelius, in the 10th chapter of Acts, fell down at Peter's feet, Peter told him to stand up. I myself also am a man. This proves the deity of Jesus right here, that he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. You don't worship no mere man. He worshipped the Lord. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am coming to the world, and that they which see not may see, and they which see might be made blind. You got to understand, that's talking about spiritually. Whatever you think you know, you got to unknow it. Because in other words, you want to open up your heart so you can learn about him. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. In other words, that's what he said. He came, if you don't see. But if you do see, I came that you don't see. So in other words, what he said, I'm coming to this world that they which see not might see. And they which see might be made blind. So in other words, undo what you think you know and agree and believe the word of God. Line up with the word of God. So we're going to, little time we got left, we can kind of get started here in the 10th chapter of St. John. So we're still talking about word power. So he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold. I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, you probably heard me make this quote. So he said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. Okay, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? This is a lot. Now, this is a continuation throughout this whole chapter, the ninth chapter of St. John, going into the tenth, right back to the subject of him because of the event, the miracle that he opened the blind man's eyes. They stuck on stupid, going right back even so somebody had sense enough to say, wait a minute, man. This others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. It was winter. Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. I mean, they know he is by the works that he's doing. Jesus answered them, I have told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because ye are not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. That's talking about the Spirit of God. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. This is what we are endeavoring to get you to see and to get you to understand the deity of Jesus Christ. So we're going to end on this particular note at this time. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.